Thank you. country, and also in some places, potentially depending on how big the swing is. But they're also under fire internally from independents who are sort of, if you like, moderate right of centre independents in some of their own safe seats. Tony Abbott, for example, is going to have to spend much of the campaign in Warringah fighting to save his seat. That's not something that Liberals mind, by the way, it will be isolated to his own electorate. But it is a problem for them that when they have these sort of contests, like trying to regain Wentworth against Gary Phelps, there's the ideological disagreements with where they position themselves as a party. But then there's also just the raw reality that they have to spend money on those seats, that they have to put human capital into it from a campaigning perspective, rather than these safe seats doing what they normally do and looking to fund the fight with marginal electorates. They're fighting wars on two fronts, politically speaking. That is a real issue for them. Then you get to the policy settings for the coalition of the Liberal Party in particular. You get an issue around where they position themselves. So this week we've seen an enormous debate on the issue of asylum seekers, you know, with Scott Morrison looking for his Canberra 2.0. This might play out well in some areas, perhaps in sections of Queensland, certainly in parts of Western Sydney, but it is a problem. I would argue, for the likes of Tony Abbott, who ironically is one of the biggest supporters of this, in some of those seats, like Overeager, it makes it easier, not harder, for Canberra to hold on to them. In the sense in Victoria, for example, where the Liberal Party has a real problem now, you know, in the wake of the state election, I don't know that the asylum debate necessarily can be cranked up in a new politics way in Victoria that it might be able to be in, for example, Western Australia by way of comparison. So there are enormous fracturings around the country which make it difficult to see a uniform swing. But what does appear to be on, I would argue, certainly is nonetheless a move, you know, an attitude that the paralysis of the government and the dysfunction from late last year is reason not to reward them with re-election, and if you couple that with their minority status, even though the opposition is led by Bill Shorten, who is one of the least popular opposition leaders in the history of this country, he looks likely to go on and become Prime Minister. Any of an interesting set of circumstances when we sort of look forward to 2019 and what happens next. Unless I'm wrong and the government finds a way to win the May election, I think it will be in May at some point in time, then, unless I'm wrong about that, then we have to sort of analyse, if you like, where Labor goes under a Bill Shorten Prime Ministership in a policy sense. And just two quick caveats before I get to that. The first one is in this asylum seeker debate, you've got a lovely irony that Peter Dutton is incredibly outraged by the Labor bill that went through the support of the crossbench and was obviously sort of embarrassing for the government. If the only reason that happened, let's not forget, is because this government's a minority government, because Peter Dutton challenged Malcolm Turnbull. And then Malcolm Turnbull left the parliament, they lost his seat, and then Julian Banks decided as a Turnbull ally to also walk away to the crossbench. So the man charged with responsibility for our borders, who's most upset at this bill having gone through, singularly responsible for the numbers being where they are, such that it did go through. So there's that to consider. The other thing to think about is, I've made my prediction that Labor will win the election, notwithstanding the momentum currently being a little bit more in the government than in the economic settings, which I'll get to in a policy sense in a moment. But I just put a caveat out there, which was that I boldly predicted that Kevin Rudd would serve multiple terms as Prime Minister. I boldly predicted that Julia Gillard, having taken over from Kevin Rudd, would be a comfortable majority against Tony Abbott. And I boldly predicted that Tony Abbott, once elected Prime Minister, would certainly serve for at least two terms, because the Liberal Party would never do to themselves what the Labor Party did. And I then predicted that Malcolm Turnbull taking over, there's been a chance of a comeback for Tony Abbott. I'm still wrong on that, trust. But, you know, I ask you to take it in, I say, with a grain of salt, would be the way that I would put it. So let's look at the policy settings. I think the Senate's going to be really interesting, assuming that Labor wins the election, because Labor does have a large policy manifesto for us. A lot of it is the very manifesto that the Liberal Party tried to make the issue of the campaign, their taxation changes. I would also argue that even though there is a lot of it, it's a little bit piecemeal, and that's been a little bit of a consequence of where modern politics, I think, is at. You know, the sort of loss of truth we've seen from the United States has flown over here as well. for the injustice that we see in the asylum debate with the two doctors' arguments that have been run by the government for the domestic care campaign that we saw in 2016. So there is a truth deficit in this country as well. And Labor, if you like, are trying to be bold in their ideas, but cognizant of that risk on the way through. And as a consequence, I would argue you've got significant changes that are happening around capital gains tax, around dividend imputation, and obviously dividend tiering as well. But they're not bringing that into the other half of tax reform, if you like. So they're doing the taking, but then they're not doing the tax adjustments that necessarily go with it. They're trying to keep that from the budget bottom line. And I wonder whether that will change in government. I think that there's the potential for them to do the genuine tax saving approach if they get into government, but the Senate will be an interesting spot to start this debate, because Labor, if they win, will have a mandate of sorts, but then the Senate will obviously have its own mandate, as it always does, and we'll end up in a scenario where we probably have to wait for a second Labor term before they get one to really know how much of this agenda is implemented, because the Senate that will go up will see a lot of the prospects go up, and then get taken out by both major parties, just because the last election was a double solution election. So the complexion of the Senate will be an important guide to how much Labor can receive, and assuming that the coalition does lose in opposition, they're hardly likely to break the trend that we've seen for years now through electoral cycles of obstruction in the Senate by the side of politics. So we need to really take a bit of a wait and see approach to how that Senate looks and how much of the Labor agenda gets implemented. There's also the chance, obviously, between now and the election, that some of these policies, that there's a little bit of a wobble from the Labor Party, particularly things having started to already heat up. You can see that the government is going after the Labor Party on the economic front. That's obviously one of their strengths. Now that they've got a second pillar to their attacks in that border protection space, if the polls do tighten, there is a chance that we see policy wobble from Bush shortly in the lead up to the election. Now, I don't think it will be the kind of wobble that we saw from John Houston, that they were led to losing the so-called unlosable election. But I do think that that comes back to my earlier point, which is that it can affect that majority, and that will then affect how much of what was taken to the election ultimately gets implemented. Finally, in terms of looking forward to the possible Labor government, the tensions that Bill Shorten will face between the New South Wales right of the party, led, if you like, by Chris Bowen, and what they want to achieve versus some of the liquid unions that he's very deftly dealt with to ensure that he's a more strengthened opposition leader than most opposition leaders are. How he manages that when he actually gets the right to power will be interesting to see. IR law reform changes, for example, that he's beholden to his promises and commitments up until now. These are all going to have an impact on the nature of the government. What I like, and I'll end by being positive, I'm mindful that I'm standing between you and the rest. What I like about this election is I do think that there are some serious contrasts. Like, we have a genuine contest. We don't have Twitter dump versus Twitter deep. This election, there are very different policy scripts that are being run. We'll wait to see if there are some policies that the government takes to the election. But the Labor Party have provided a platform as an alternative, and the government have clearly earmarked their disagreement with it. So we're left in this scenario where there is a genuine choice for voters